Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Dr. Richard Presser, who is here to talk about 2012. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you, Susan. Good to speak to you again.
Yes.
Seems like a lifetime since we last spoke, and yet it's not really that long.
No, time is doing funny things, isn't it?
Indeed it is.
So, last time we were on, we mentioned that you had information, gathered information about 2012 and what sort of changes, interdimensional changes might occur. You want to brief the audience a little bit on the sources of your information and a general overview?
I'm happy to do that, Susan. In summary, we've been given to understand that what awaits us, beginning with that December 2012 solstice, is nothing short of a transformation in consciousness for humanity and all upon this beautiful planet of ours. And the first step, if you will, in that process is reclaiming the levels of ability, you might say, that we had at the time of Atlantis before that fall some 13,000 or so years ago, and then moving beyond that. And so in those times, the physical body didn't age the way it does now. Illness and disease, as we know it, did not exist in this form. We didn't accumulate negative past life karmic energies from lifetime to lifetime the way we have been since then. And we didn't just have two active strands of DNA, we had over 2,000, which is what all that so-called mitochondrial or junk DNA is about. And so we're given to understand that that will be reactivated a week or so after that December 2012 solstice. And then all of that will be followed by this shift in consciousness that many refer to as ascension at the March 2013 equinox. So that in summary is what we've been given to understand. And to address the other side of your question, Susan, where have we received this information from? Essentially, my partner in crime in all of this, Carolyn Evers, has been channeling for many years, maybe 15 plus years, and she is not only clairaudient, but clairvoyant and clairsentient, and has some quite amazing skills. And these skills were really activated, you might say, over the previous 10 years or so, where she found herself going on a number of trips overseas to various places, and you might say synchronistically found herself along with people who could verify her experiences, that these skills began to open up. So you could say my ability to activate these kind of skills has really been as a result of working with Carolyn and accepting and understanding that I also have some of those skills. Indeed, we all have those skills. So these understandings have come from higher aspects of ourselves and also other beings on the other side of the veil of consciousness, you might say. And So we've presented a lot of the information that we've been given on a website called the 2012countdown.com. And perhaps the best segue into all of this is the first YouTube video that I've linked on a page where I've put a bunch of YouTube videos. That really summarizes or presents a vision that Carolyn received in November 2008, which really, I guess, gave an overview of these changes. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, Susan.
So there is a process then that's going to occur between the winter, the 12/21/2012 date, and then you say the spring equinox, which is March. What's the exact date of that?
I'm not sure. Around about the 21st of March, it can shift around. To be honest, I haven't looked at it closely. I mean, this year, for example, I think it's on the 20th. So it can shift around by a day or so.
Yeah.
Around about the 21st of March.
Yeah.
In 2013.
It's really frequencies that are coming in from the galactic center. I know Paul Lafayette has written a book on that. The physicist written a book on the super wave of energy coming in.
Yes.
The mainstream scientists have now acknowledged we're in a photon belt and, of course, predicted that it's going to destroy the Earth, which I thought was very funny. but I think for our listeners, I want everybody to understand that third-dimensional information, especially coming out of mainstream media, is woefully uninformed of not only the things that are currently here that can be measured, like the photon belt, but also woefully unaware of what is coming and what it means. So really higher dimensional sources that Richard is talking about are the main source for getting information about this. There aren't a lot of third dimensional sources.
That's certainly so. And one of the things that I've done, I mean, you're aware of my background, Susan. For the mm-hmm. listeners, I have a PhD in engineering. So I'm a pretty left-brained guy from a training perspective, and I haven't thrown all that away as I've opened up my intuitive side, my ability to do these things. That analytical process is still alive and well within me. And so part of what I've done is put in quite a lot of work to seek to understand the pointers that do exist within this consciousness, and there are actually quite a lot of them. I mean, the best known one is perhaps the Mayan calendar, which many have tried to distort and refute and so on and so forth. And for me, perhaps the best source on this is the work of John Major Jenkins, who's been extremely thorough and dedicated to bringing forth the understandings behind it over 20 plus years. And he published a book a couple of years ago which pulled the threads of this together in many ways, called The 2012 Story, where he also talks about a lot of the other material that's come forth in relation to it. Now, he doesn't buy into it being, a particular focused date. Rather, he sees it as being there is a period of time of transition around this time, and that's certainly a lot less dangerous territory to step into. But mm-hmm. if you actually examine the history of the various events that the Mayans have pointed to cosmologically and have timed, you might say, things within their culture to align with, those alignments and those events have been extremely carefully timed to reflect the exact dates. So mm-hmm. There is this history within that Mayan tradition that John spends a lot of time analyzing and reporting on, which in fact really does reflect that very specific timing and so on. And just getting back to your point about energies from galactic center, Susan, what we've been given to understand is that there are actually energies from multiple sources coming through at that time. The energies, if you will, coming from galactic center are coming through that center from several different places. Some of it's coming from cosmic center.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps the most interesting, assuming our information is accurate, is that there is, for all that we see reflected in what you might call matter created with the positive sign of energy, which is the kind of reality that we live in, there is the mirror image of that on the other side of the black hole at galactic center, and indeed there is the equivalent for every galaxy. And so part of what will happen, that mirror image in what you might call negative polarity of energy, if you will, has not been interfered with by the dark in the way that we have. And so there are two star systems, you might say, which will triangulate and send very powerful transformational energies through galactic center at that time. But also there is the mirror image, if you will, of planet Earth and humanity who have not gone through this fall process and so have continued to progress. And so there will be tremendous wisdom sent forth to humanity at that time from those beings, for those who are willing to be open to accepting it. So there are many threads to this puzzle. And, you know, until it all unfolds, it's all a bit speculative, I have to say.
when you talk about the fall, I want our listeners to understand that that is most likely a dimensional fall, not really a fall in space as we know it. You know, like people think that when you go up to heaven, you go up in the sky, but that's not what we're talking about. The ascension is a dimensional ascension, and the fall was a dimensional fall. So in other words, the precessional array of the atom got changed, and the atoms were closer together, and then therefore you had more density, and so you found yourself in the third rather than the fifth dimension.
Correct.
So that's what they mean by when we fell. And we did fall. And when we fell, the information that comes in is that we also fell, we also had a corruption of the blueprint down to two strands of DNA from the original higher numbers. So then you had all the problems like sickness, aging, death, you know, the whole thing that wasn't meant to be in the original blueprint from the Creator God. So it's kind of interesting. Because you look around and you wonder why we have all these problems. And I mean, I realized a while ago, as I'm sure you did, Richard, that you really can't get anything done on planet Earth as it is, because you can do things, but as soon as you're gone or your systems are gone, then everything goes back and is corrupted again because of the density here that is in the dark force, I guess we'd say dominance here.
So indeed. Well, you
very,
see,
it's difficult to get anything done here. I mean, Mother Teresa's work is now probably fairly corrupted, you know.
Well, a good illustration of that, Susan, is how what one might term the secret societies of the light over time have been corrupted by the dark. You look at Freemasonry, you look at what exists today of the so-called Knights Templar, which has very little to do with what they were about when they were here. You look at really the streams of what's considered royalty. I mean, there's a place for beings to, great souls to provide leadership to humanity, but those roles also have been corrupted by the dark. What's left on the planet as so-called royalty is very dark, as you would appreciate. So what you're saying has great truth to it, in my view.
Yeah. So, you know, this is our higher dimensional guardians tell us that this is a great opportunity for the reversal of this descent into darker and darker and more polarity and more corruption. This will change that descent. And quickly. I mean, it's not going to be a gradual thing. It's going to be very quick, and it may not be like in 24 hours, but it's going to be not. It's not going to take years, like some Earth prophets have said. I think it's going to be a lot quicker.
Indeed, and some other pieces of the puzzle that we've been given, Susan, and again, as I always say when I speak about this stuff, you need to bring your own discernment of everything that I say. I don't ask anyone to believe anything that I say, but to use your own discernment about whether there is for you a sense that what I'm saying has truth to it or otherwise. We've been given to understand that this date, this December 2012 solstice, was chosen even before the creation of this planet. Indeed, well before that. And it's what I've come to understand for in many different ways is that even though in one sense time is linear, in another sense it is cyclical. And
right.
there are cycles of what we might call time. And
mm-hmm.
some of those are more powerful and important and defining than others. And so this date has been aligned with the beginning of the in-breath of this cycle of Brahma within this cosmos.
Right.
Some of you may be aware within the Hindu traditions, for example, they talk about cycles of Brahma, the in-breath and out-breath of Brahma, which are massively long cycles of time. And you could look at, for example, what our scientists refer to as the Big Bang as perhaps the
mm-hmm.
beginning of this, the cycle of this out-breath. And so this date aligns with the beginning of the in-breath, but also an even longer cycle than that, which is longer than any individual cycle of Brahma within this cosmos, is the ending of the cycle of the dark. In other words, not only is the interference on this planet going to come to an end, but indeed it's disappearing right throughout this cosmos and beyond.
And I want to mention, Richard, that information is also what we got in session, that it's not just simply a local phenomena, local meaning this solar system, not
right.
at all.
Oh, that's good to know. I like to get corroboration from independent sources on this stuff.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, you there's no other way to really know what you're getting is true, because you're just getting words and information and sometimes energy, but it's good to verify it, that's for sure.
It is, and really for me, the test of the veracity or otherwise of the things that we've been given, Susan, is the coming mm-hmm. forth of rejuvenation of the physical body. As I suspect we discussed
right.
last time,
yeah.
You know, we have been given to understand, rightly or wrongly, that there is a process of preparation for humanity to go through. And we talk about that on our website to an extent. And there are really three steps in that. One is to acknowledge your creator, that indeed the particles that make up your soul are provided, or you might even say on loan, from the creator being of this cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
And the second step then is to clear all of your negative past life karmic energies and rejuvenate your physical body. Now, if you examine those second two steps, they really represent a return as much as possible to the state that we had before the fall, because as I said, we were not collecting these past life karmic energies before that, and they can't be taken forward to a higher dimension. There's a cosmic law which says that can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, the rejuvenation of the physical body puts us back into a state similar to what we had before the fall in Atlantis. So we have been given two commands to trigger these processes, and we've been using the karmic clearing command for a couple of years now and have seen some pretty amazing results in people's lives as a result of that work. But the rejuvenation command has not been active for a whole bunch of reasons, and we've experienced tremendous interference with Carolyn particularly to seek to stop that process. It's a bit more complex
mm-hmm.
than that, but the interference has been incredible. I mean, you from your background would understand what I'm about to say, Susan. There, you know, on one day, for example, Carolyn's blood pressure might be, you know, 205 over, you know, 125 to be extreme, and the next day
mm-hmm.
it could be down at 135 over 75. I kid you not. I've
mm-hmm.
seen it shift that much in a day. And it's just because we've been able to clear that round of interference comprehensively.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's experienced phenomenal pain, has been taken to death's door, you know, many more times than I can count. And I'm not wanting to be melodramatic here. It's been the reality of that experience. And so part of that has been to seek to prevent this coming forth. And so really, you know, mm-hmm. for me, if there's veracity to what we have been given, then the proof of the pudding will be the emergence of that, of Carolyn's rejuvenation and the activation of that command.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be pretty dramatic when that happens.
Yeah, I can give you a little information that might help.
Right.
I noticed that it wasn't recently, it was more about a year ago, that the majority of people who were involved in this sort of endeavor, shall you say, the higher realm endeavor, experienced extreme hypertension. And what we found is that they were mobilizing a lot of mercury. And so anything that could decrease the mercury, like cilantro and other detox measures to get the mercury out, would help bring the blood pressure down. Of course, not eating seafood might be important as well because of the mercury in certain seafood. And then making sure that you had a lot of magnesium. This shift that we're going through requires just a huge amount of magnesium. And then, of course, potassium. I recommend people take their table salt and put it away and instead get Morton salt substitute with just potassium chloride and salt their food with that. And, of course, avoid fast food and restaurant food that's heavily salted. And sometimes just with those change of electrolytes and getting rid of the mercury, we've been able to stop the. And you're right, it's extreme hypertension. It's sometimes, just like you said, it's very, very high. And I think, I mean, what the information we got is that a lot of it is from the energies coming in, and Carolyn's really getting a lot of energy coming in because she works in this realm for a living. I mean, we just do this stuff three times a week. We don't do it, you know, every day. Mm. But when the energies come in, things get mobilized, like mercury. And mercury affects the kidneys to cause hypertension. So you might try some of those more third dimensional, easy things to do. And
thank you. And
the
thing to kind of notice about this from the work that we've been doing with all of this, and I'm not suggesting that what you're suggesting is not valid and appropriate, because, you know, I think those things are very much at work. However, you know, we become aware of beings that we actually clear and deal with.
Yeah.
So these things are very much part of that experience for her. But
the
advice you're giving, I think, is wonderful advice.
It's just in general for people doing the work who are experiencing hypertension one day and then down the next. And I mean, that's the way the pattern has been. It's been up and down.
Mm.
But there's no question that there are other forces at work. And we've had to clear other similar energies off people and then saw an immediate decrease in blood pressure as well.
Fantastic.
But you know, I think the whole point is that when we absorb these energies doing the work, we go through a detox, you see.
Yep.
And that is something that can be, you know, you can feel horrible, you can feel tired and if you help your body clear out those heavy metals and mercury especially, you can feel a lot better.
Fantastic.
Or not put them in to begin with, you know, quit putting them in at such a high rate. but the seafood now is incredibly questionable, especially that coming out of the Gulf, the farmed stuff, and a lot of the seafood has stuff in it that is going to make people not feel well and affect their blood pressure as well. So.
Well, there's so much pollution of various sorts. You know, some of it's been intentional, a lot of it not, but it's just become incredible, the interference in this biosphere. And hopefully the work that we're all involved with, Susan, will see this interference cleared, all this this toxic pollution of various sorts cleared from our biosphere so we can move forward in a very different manner.
I think that's part of, you know, they say as above, so below. The biosphere is getting cleared out. Our bodies are getting cleared out. We had heard from the, you know, the higher realms that there would start to be arrests and we would see the powers that be being brought down, you know, especially in financial markets.
Yes.
And then there is information now on the Internet that that there's arrests and people resigning, and the head of the World Bank and the head of all these banks and a lot of the, you know, the CEOs of these companies are now either resigning or being arrested or stepping down or whatever. So
that's
it's
fantastic.
Coming to pass. And like you say, there's no when you hear these things, a lot of times I'm incredulous of what I hear because I just can't see how it's going to happen. But then when it happens, you kind of have to say, okay, well, maybe there is going to be a clean out of the energies of this planet that are, you know, they're suppressing everything.
Yes, it's interesting. I mean, I like you, kind of look at the little time window we have left and say, how on earth is this going to happen? And one thing that, you know, we've been given to understand is that there is a respect, you might say, for the cycles that are in place. And so the times of transition between one cycle and another are kept as short as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's as you say, you know, you kind of wonder how all of this can be possible. And yet, really, if there is the desire, the will, and the tools in place to transform this stuff, it really can happen very quickly. I mean, for me, one of the interesting sources, and I suspect probably yours for some of this material, is what comes forth from Project Camelot. Do you track that, Susan, at all?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
Yes. Yeah.
So there's been a couple of interesting individuals on there in the last little while. I think this character called Bill Wood, or Bill Brockbader is his name,
mm-hmm.
who's done some work with that technology called Looking Glass, where he was asked
right.
to review some of the information that people were receiving from that to see if he could come up with an alternative outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And what he has had to say about that is that, and this guy has deep skills in psyops and so on, trained as a SEAL and so on. And what he has been saying is that all of the timelines come together in this singularity
mm-hmm.
at that date, which I find fascinating. It's one of the powerful corroborations. And talking about this clearing work that you were, Susan, the work that John Kettler has been involved in, seemingly, with off-planet beings doing some of this clearing work of our New World Order friends and so on, is all pretty breathtaking, if it's so.
Well, I mean, as you say, the proof is forthcoming. It's, once you see the CEOs and the heads of these financial institutions who basically have been involved in criminal activity for many years, at least since the 80s, going away, and it's going to extend into medicine, probably into the pharmaceutical industry. It's going to extend into government based on those government figures who took bribes in order to allow the criminal activity to continue. I mean, just watch. I mean, you may not be told who's arrested, but when they fail to show up to certain events that they should be at, you can assume, or when excuses come out from their PR that they're on extended vacations, you can deduce that, you know, maybe they're not free to travel, you know?
Yes.
So, a lot of it's going to be covered up or attempted to cover up, but the point is when, you know, if people aren't present at certain functions and if people kind of drop off the end of the earth that
so
have always
speak.
Been, you know, you can assume that there's something underfoot.
Yeah.
And then I think eventually when enough of it, the mainstream media blockage clears out, then we'll hear what really happened.
Yes.
Hopefully. Hopefully they remember how to report.
Yes, it's been incredible. In fact, I was reading a posting from John Kettler last night, talking
mm-hmm.
about exactly this, you know, because he put a posting on his blog on the 21st at the new moon, saying that there
mm-hmm.
was going to be this tremendous clearing work of the activities of the New World Order
mm-hmm.
in the US beginning that night. And, you know, he's saying these things simply aren't getting reported and won't get reported in the media because, you know, he's saying, you know, some of these FEMA camps that have been set up are smoking holes in the ground, but they're not going to get reported because no one acknowledged they existed. I mean, if you destroy them, then you first got to say, well, why were they there?
Yeah, and the underground cities, you know, in Colorado and Virginia that are now supposedly gone. So, you know, we're, of course you can't report anything like that because they didn't exist in the first place.
Exactly.
The only person I know to put it on mainstream media is Jesse Ventura.
Okay.
When he did his 2012 story.
I haven't tracked Jesse's work.
It's the most interesting stuff on mainstream media. It was on Truth TV.
Okay.
He talked about the evidence for the underground cities in Colorado beneath the Denver airport.
Yes, I've heard about that. And as you know, I come from Australia, and one of the things that I see reported every so often is how these guys refer to Australia as the Ark, because as you're probably aware, it's a very, very old landmass. It's got very few people for the size of the country. And there are these massive underground cities, as you described, that have been created in the center of Australia. And amusingly, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, I had this woman briefly connect with my work who had some interesting connections, and she had a connection with some truckies who were involved with shipping enormous amounts of goods and so on into this place called Woomera, which is best known in Australia as a 50s test site, rocket testing and so on. And all this stuff's being trucked in there and nothing's coming out again.
Right, yeah.
So it was just interesting to get this person that turned up in my life, gave me that piece of information, and then pretty much disappeared.
Yeah, well, I have a theory that all the recent drug shortages, which we experience here in our surgery center, things like erythromycin and Diprovan and Decadron, you know, things that are used widely that are not, they're all generic, you know, there's plenty of sources of them. And anesthesia was commenting on that, because at the hospital they're even worse, because of course the hospital uses more drugs than we do. And so he's like shaking his head going, I don't understand all these drug shortages. And I said, look up whether or not there were really earthquakes underneath Virginia and Colorado, or maybe the seismographic evidence showed that they were actually explosions. And, you know, if indeed those were underground cities that were destroyed, think that maybe they're getting restocked again. And he looks at me and he goes, could be, you know, like, because what else, I said, something is stopping it before the supply gets to the hospital and the clinic stage. You know, somebody's withdrawing these things before, because I'm absolutely certain that many drugs aren't having production difficulties.
It's
so
interesting. I've
even the anesthesiologists who know nothing about, you know, what we're talking about, it's just not in their realm of understanding, have to admit that it looks like somebody's taking these drugs out of circulation before they get, you know, get distributed. So anyway, you got to put, as David Icke says, you have to put the pieces of the puzzle together, connect the dots, and that's what I enjoy doing.
Because, and David has made such a contribution. I mean, I don't agree with everything he says, but he has made
such a... He's certainly brave soul, isn't he?
He certainly is brave. I will give him, you know, 12 out of 10 for bravery.
right. And I want to mention to the listeners that if you go on Camelot, David Wilcox is on with the Navy SEAL talking about the information about Project Looking Glass, which is a real project that the military had. And then the Navy SEAL who was brought in to look at all the data and understand why the timeline split, which is very interesting in itself, has to do with Project Montauk, and then when they're coming back together and what that will mean. And David Wilcox is someone who is quite knowledgeable about the timelines, and also about the greater cycles. You know, he talks about three greater cycles that Richard had mentioned, and the 20, you know, the cycle that is increasing speciation right now. That's a shorter cycle. I think that's about 29,000 years or 26,000. And all these cycles coming together at once certainly is not an event that happens very often.
Indeed, and I must say, you know, David Wilcock has made an extraordinary contribution. His recent book, oh dear, idea,
the source code
investigates. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Right.
that really is a tremendous contribution. He brings together so much material that's been hidden, and also a lot of material that's been in Russian science that's not come into our area too much. And he's done a tremendous job in pulling this stuff together. I think it's a great piece of work, and I really do honor him for the work that's been involved with that. It's been really a labor of love to bring such a tremendous depth of material together. And if someone really wants to understand some of the underlying technologies and to begin to get a grip on the fact that there is a parallel reality, you might say, which rather than being, it seems like, you know, three dimensions of space and one of time, there does seem to be a parallel reality which is three dimensions of time and one of space.
Right. Well, basically what David does is explain all the miracles. If you ever want to wonder how Jesus walked on water or how the pyramids were built or how some people could become invisible and some people can walk through walls, it's all very absolutely 100% able to be understood with the physics and the experiments that David presents.
Indeed.
I mean, we don't need to wonder about the miracles anymore. With that science, you can understand them. And that just blew me away. I spent a whole day with David at the Truth Convention. He gave a whole whole 8-9 hour thing on that material in Atlanta, and I walked out of there going, "Oh my God, I've never had everything come together so well."
The other piece that I find fascinating that actually Bill Brockbetter mentioned in his second interview with Project Camelot, which is the one which David Wilcock was on. Mm-hmm. He mentioned a website, just very quickly in passing, called keshspace.com. Now, that's K-E-S-H-E and then the word space, S-P-A-C-E.com. Mm-hmm. And if you've not had a look at that, I recommend you do so, because the work that Mr. Kesh has been doing, he's an Iranian who's been living in Europe for much of his life, I think. And basically what he has done, in a way, has, you might say, stepped beyond the kind of work that Nassim Haramein is doing, which I'm sure you're across. And really what he's demonstrated is essentially that magnetism and gravitation are really just the aspects of the same forces at work. Which, interestingly enough, I happen to be reading a book on Einstein at the moment, written by Walter Isaacson. I read the book on Steve Jobs's life and discovered that somebody had given me this biography on Einstein somewhere in my past, and so I pulled it off the shelf and started reading it. And Einstein was seeking to reconcile gravity and electromagnetism, the broader spectrum, you know, back in the 20s and so on, as part of pulling together a unified theory. But what Kesh has done is that he has, in my words, understood how the matter and the energy that we see comes forth from the background energy field. Perhaps I should explain briefly what I mean by that. There is a background energy field, the energy density of which is extraordinary in comparison with all that we see, both energetically and by way of matter. For example, the words from Nassim Haramein on this are that the energy contained in the background energy field of a proton is equal to all of the known mass and energy in the cosmos. That's a pretty extreme number.
No kidding.
And so that's why it's stuck in my head. And so, you know, what we see and experience is such a small part of what actually exists. Mm-hmm. And so what he has figured out how to do, you know, he now views an electron and a proton as simply an expression of the same plasma in a sense. And if you understand how to work with the plasma, you can get it to yield all kinds of stuff. You can get it to begin to bring forth infinite amounts of energy. And it, when you've got that kind of level of energy sitting in the background, you don't need to bring much of it forth to do anything you want to do in this dimension. Mm-hmm. And so, he's also solved the issue of, you know, space transport free of gravity and so on, because if you understand how it works, you can simply effectively dial up the parameters and have a craft go anywhere almost instantly. And by anywhere, I mean, you know, to another solar system or galaxy or who knows what.
Right.
And, you know, he has these...
You don't transverse space at all when you do that.
Well, I guess not. Yeah. You know, I don't understand. I have to say exactly how this is being done. But you know, he now, his, what's he call it? His organization, I guess, is the simplest way to, a foundation, he calls it, has now available for sale from their website free energy power generation units. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes to great lengths to say his focus is really on space technology. He has no desire to change, you know, the politics of this world. But, of course, the technology is completely relevant to this dimension. And he's, you know, he's getting leaned on very hard not to reveal all of this stuff. But it's a fascinating sight. I encourage you to take a look because to me, it is one of the key pieces of the puzzles. And again, it's no accident that this is coming forth in this time.
Yeah, I think the main problem that I know of, because I've read Alien Mind, which is free actually on the website of the author, Alien Mind presents information and physics worked out by Tom Bearden, who actually lives over here in Alabama. I actually called him up and asked him if he knew that his work was in Alien Mind, and he said he didn't, so I guess he read it after I pointed that out to him. But anyway, it was interesting. But anyway, Alien Mind's about an investigative journalist who spent 10,000 hours with some of the aliens that work with our government.
Okay.
And in it is the physics showing that if free energy isn't controlled, if it's just used, you know, haphazardly, that it actually changes time and we can burn our sun out. So whenever I hear the term free energy, if this physics is correct, and I think people ought to go and explore it for themselves and make up their own mind, but free energy may actually not be free. And so, you know, I know there's detectors on the planet to determine if people are using free energy devices, because when you bring energy in from another dimension, that actually can be measured. So, you know, there's still a question on free energy, whether or not it's really free. But I suspect, having looked at the physics, it's not. So you would have to have something like some sort of regulatory agency so as not to burn out the sun too rapidly. And, of course, burning out your sun isn't a good idea, especially if you haven't done space travel yet and could go somewhere else. So, but anyway, that's something that that not a lot of people know about.
Mm.
And I actually saw both Stephen Greer and David Wilcox at the Truth Convention. I asked both of them if they knew anything about that, and neither did. So I said, well, you need to read Alien Mind, because if that physics is true, then free energy is not free. And they said,
My gut reaction to that, Susan, is that things don't work that way. You know, as I said, we're not really bringing it in from another dimension. What we are doing...
Yeah.
You know, the nature of this reality is that it is coming forth from the background energy field continuously.
Right.
It is the nature of things. And, you know, to me, it seems that in his own way, what Tesla was doing was that he had found mechanisms to, again, tap into that background energy field to simply have it express other than what we see. We're not bringing it in from anywhere.
Well, that actually may be different. But like I said, I think looking at the information on his. I've not seen the information on his website, so I can't. Yeah. I'll take a look at it definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, would you like to give your contact information one more time, because you've got a lot of the information about 2012 is up on your website.
Yes, the website is the2012countdown.com, and there's some other, you know, I'm thinking about adding some of the things that we've been talking about here, Susan, so that people can, you know, access some of that, because I do feel that all of this in its own way is an important piece of the puzzle. You know, one of the things that for me has begun to emerge is that there are many threads to all of this kind of coming together at this time. And so to understand the bigger picture, you know, it's valuable to understand the kind of things that we've been talking about here. So, yeah, the2012countdown.com, it's got a lot of stuff that we've essentially been given to understand from various sources. So if you're drawn to understanding that perspective, that's the place to find it.
And the other thing, I think, too, in my personal experience, working with other people in my own personal experience, is that consciousness can change very, very rapidly. I've worked on people, and then the next day they've had massive changes in consciousness, where they, you know, that their entire perceptual reality is different than it was. And, of course, it can be, if it's not slow, it can be more traumatic. But there's no question that your consciousness can change in a rather short period of time, so that you develop what Richard and I are alluding to in this interview, which is spiritual sight and hearing, and understanding that we truly are not alone and that we do have interdimensional communication capabilities that actually the prophets have been doing for ages, and it's in all the major religions, the saints and everybody. And spoken about many different religions have had this shift in consciousness and then been able to bring in information that is not solely framed by the third dimension. So the point is that if everybody, I mean, I wonder about how we get to the 1,000 years of peace, and really the only way we get to 1,000 years of peace, which is predicted in Revelation, is that that people change their consciousness. I mean, that would do it, and that might be the only thing that does do it, because otherwise you're talking about having to eliminate a large portion of the people on the planet in order to get the peace.
Well,
it won't happen unless that, yeah.
If our understanding is accurate, Susan, this transition is going to happen, period. You know, it's not exactly, I mean, a lot of people talk about, you know, the need for humanity to get together and cooperate and envision this and all that kind of stuff, choose mm-hmm. their future. And my response to that is, if we are relying on humanity cooperating on anything, we're in deep shit.
We're in big trouble. I agree completely. It's not driven by human participation. It's happening to the human race, but it's not limited to the human race.
Yes, and so you know, I mentioned earlier that one of the things that is necessary, part of the puzzle and part of the control system, if you like, in the cosmos, is that negative energies created on one level of consciousness cannot be taken forward to a higher level of consciousness. And so
right.
What we've actually done when we've crossed over in past lives is we've left these energies behind in this dimension, kind of like a seed. And then when we've reincarnated, we've picked that seed back up and continued on. Now, with ascension, this level of consciousness will be going away. And hence, mm-hmm. we need to clear these energies. And those that don't clear them will actually cross over at the time of that December 2012 solstice. So this whole filtering process will occur then. Now, there's a lot of understanding that needs to come forth between now and then for people to make this choice. And so there will be this filtering going on as mm-hmm. part of this whole process, Susan. And, you know, I have no idea what the split will be. I mean, I don't know. I'm not even sure what percentage of the seemingly humanoids on the planet are actually of human origin.
True.
You know, John Kettler is saying, you know, he's told it's as low as 40%. Now,
You know, I find that hard to believe myself, and not everything that John has brought forth do I accept. I accept that he does appear to have a role in working with off-planet beings to clear the New World Order and so on. And, you know, very often we see individuals have particular focus and that's about it. But so there will be that filtering out. And really the bottom line to it, Susan, as I see it, is whether individuals acknowledge that there is a creator that created their souls or whether they don't. If they accept that and move forward with that understanding and so on, then the things that I spoke about, that clearing work, on some level will get undertaken for them. But those that don't, those that are in denial of the truth of that fact, will not survive this process, and they will reincarnate in another third-dimensional consciousness to continue their journey. So there will be this separation, if you will, of humanity, those who want to walk the path of the light and peace and so on. They will get separated out and ascend, and those that don't won't. And so there will be that filtering process.
Oh, no, there will. No, we've been told the same thing, that that even to the degree that one-third will be by war and processes of war like famine, one-third will be by disease and plagues, most of which are man-made, as you know. Yep. And the third will be by natural disasters, which are going to continue to increase until this time period. So those three things being said, that, I mean, literally two-thirds or to two-fifths of the world's population could pass and just cycle on out because of that. And we will, I'm sure we will see that. But I'm talking about the other people who are left might have a sudden shift in consciousness. I mean, that does happen, and when that happens, they are no longer able to remain asleep and unaware of what their actions create, do you see?
I agree with you. There are a lot of people waking up and waking up quickly. We see it on many levels. So, you know, there is this process occurring on the planet. And, you know, some of the people that I work with, for example, have really only become aware in the last year or even in some cases in the last few months. And it's like this bomb has gone off in their consciousness.
And I think
they're scrambling
to
understand. And it's fascinating to see this.
Yeah, I do. Well, we're coming up to the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information one more time for our listeners?
Sure, Susan. Our key website is the2012countdown.com, and you can go there and you can register your name and email address at the top or bottom or of any page on that website. So we can keep in touch with you, let you know what's going on, what we understand as unfolding, and to share those understandings and information with you as it unfolds.
Well, great. Well, thank you again for joining us. As always, it's a pleasure to catch up and to see what information is coming forth and how it's being put together. I think that it's going to be a very exciting year in terms of a lot of things coming together so that we do understand not only what's happened in our past, but how it's going to affect our future. So again, thanks, Richard.
Susan, it's been a pleasure, and I thank you for the opportunity to come forth and speak with you and your listeners. The platform that you provide is a unique one in many ways, and I enjoy our conversations immensely, so thank you.
All righty. Well, we'll be in touch, Richard. We're going to get you back on a little later on in the year, and we'll compare notes again.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Take care.
I will do. You too. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we're going to be talking with Kathleen Martin, Captured, the Betty and Barney Hill UFO Experience. This is one of the most well-documented UFO abduction experiences that there is. And Stan Friedman, a nuclear physicist that I've interviewed twice, is a co-author on this book. Kathleen is actually the niece of Betty Hill. On the 10th, we are interviewing Michael Cremo, The Hidden History of the Human Race. On the 17th, Paul von Vorid will be back. His new book is We've Never Been Alone, A History of Extraterrestrial Intervention. On the 24th, Robert Foreman, Enlightenment Ain't What It what it's cracked up to be. And on the 31st, Leigh Fortson, Embrace, Release, and Heal, an empowering guide to talking about, thinking about, and treating cancer. The Noetic Science Meeting is a free lecture on the episode of Life, Consciousness, Creation, and the Universe by Abjad Fadmidi. This is at 7:30 at the Dunwoody office location, 770-457-4677, if you want more information about this. And Millennium Healthcare is having a free lecture on Permanent Hay Fever Solution by Dr. Mike at 7:30 p.m. at our Dunwoody office on the 27th of March. We also have advanced Avalon training tomorrow at the Dunwoody office. If you want to experience light technology, that will be in the afternoon from 2 to 5. Temple of Health radio show is also helping bring information about the I Can Do It retreat. This is a mind, body, soul event coming to Atlanta, San Jose, Vancouver, and Toronto in the upcoming months. It's in April for Atlanta. Provides you with an opportunity to meet some of your favorite authors like Dr. Wayne Dyer, Greg Braden, Marianne Williamson, and Louise Hay. So join them and your peers for this uniquely inspiring and motivating retreat. Just go to icandoit.net to find out dates for a city near you or call 1-800-654-5126. That's all of our announcements for today. Thank you very much. Do remember that Daylight Savings Time begins on the 11th of March, and we will join us next week.